rate of attempting suicide.
Exactly. And it's like, it's to not bring that in, it really erases, you know, our color. You know, like, I'm a Black queer man, so is Vincent. Like, you know, to not have color in, you know, our LGBTQI plus, you know, demonstrations and our, you know, even like in the parade, for instance, is like so erasing to us. And it's just such a concept where I'm not okay to get rid of my, you know, my color. So like Black Lives Matter Toronto, like, they do get involved, you know, with the trans community. They do get involved with, you know, the queer community within Toronto. That's what Black Lives Matter Ottawa is also, you know, we're attempting to do that too, you know. You'll see a demonstration from us, you know, at Pride, you know, this year. Like, it needs to happen.
That would be incredible.
Thank you.
We would invite it, and we still do. And we do have on a member at large on the operations committee who works for human rights. She's going to be organizing the vigil, but she's also a lawyer who works for human rights causes. I would encourage you, her name's Melanie. I would encourage you to get a hold of our producer. This is what we want. We're not closed to that dialogue, but again, we need the support as much as you need the support from Pride as an organization. But truthfully, it's a little chicken and egg where we start on this one. We do need people to educate us. We need people who to participate with us. It's not a closed conversation. It's just I think sometimes people are directing their concerns in a way that we're sitting there trying to create a structure, but the structure is there to lend to the next part, which is the festival, and then the festival is there. But again, we at one point we referred to the festival as a canvas, and the community is to paint it, and that's what we need. But again, we'll never say that we're not making mistakes. Of course, it's not going to be perfect out of the gates, and we didn't promise that. But what we do invite is the dialogue. And if we seem quiet, it's because sometimes we were overwhelmed, not with the demands of what we could be, but more of trying to get it together in a very short amount of time. Just the process of getting city support, not that they were reluctant, but it's a challenge. The parade route, all of those things take time. And now we're at the point where we want everyone to, and I'm sorry that it sounds like we're saying come to us, but that's what we actually need. We need you to come to us and tell us what you need, and we're going to do what we can. That is our organization.
Well, and I think this is interesting. I think this is where the problem stems, because communities of color don't feel as though they should be knocking on doors asking for themselves to be represented.
But we expect that from everyone. It's not just community of color. It's our francophone. There's women's groups that don't feel represented at times. This goes a long way.
And that's all well and good. But I think the problem is that, like, I think the issue with it is the active approach. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel that as a community of color, there is a lot for me to lose in going up to this organization and saying, we need you to represent us more. Here's some ideas of things that you can do.
I would welcome that conversation,
and
Vincent.
I think it's much more welcoming, and it's much more, it removes a lot of the risk from communities of color to actually have members from Pride go and say, come to us and say, and it's a goodwill gesture to say, look, we are interested in making our festival a lot more inclusive and ensuring that communities of color are better represented, for example, or that francophones are better represented. What can we, and like having a real conversation with people where Capital Pride as an organization approaches these communities, because it actually, at that point, that changes the dynamic, right? That changes the dynamic from us having to demand for rights again to an organization that's actually actively willing to try to make the organization a lot more inclusive. And I think that's
Have you looked at the composition of our board, though? And I think you have to take a deeper look at who's on the board and also who's on operations. Because if you're saying we're not diverse, then you're sadly mistaken.
I want to reel it back.
You have to take a deeper look, Vincent, because we are very diverse on our board and on operations.
That's very tokenistic of you to say, but I think RJ
tokenistic.
Has something. Yeah,
I don't understand. You're going to deny the composition of our board and our operations. I mean, that's to erase them.
No, of course, right? And I'm not saying that the folks of color that exist on your board are not like
people of color. Like, we're not denying their skin color by any
means, or the trans individuals.
Yeah, exactly, and who they identify as or what they identify as. But saying that your board is diverse, and especially speaking at the top of your board, it means, as a white, you know, like a white cis woman, like I don't know what diversity means to you.
I'm not going to apologize for what I am, but I am going to say that I've done something about it. And to apologize for what I am and for the fact that I've done something about it, and in the absence of the chaos, or I should say in the midst of the chaos that was the bankruptcy of the former organization, I could have done nothing, and nothing would have happened. And truthfully, nobody else stepped up All right, except the people that are part of our board. No one else did anything.
You all seem to expect people of color to come to you and ask for help, which is
you know
not
what? We did approach many, many groups. Some said yes. Some had misgivings and chose not to join. And you know what? We can't help the decision. We gave the invitation. We did approach. And there's lots of people can step up and say that, too.
So the Velvet Studio does air in locations other than Ottawa. So I'm going to rein the specificity back a bit. You know, one of the things, and I feel like I want to capture what you're trying to say that may have been missed, and I think it speaks to what Matt was saying as well. There are certain groups who are, you know, incredibly disadvantaged. For example, I'm doing some work on GLBT, New Canadians and Refugees. You know, these are folks who may not have the knowledge of who to contact or who to step up to. So a proactive approach in scenarios such as that becomes vital in order to engage with those communities. I mean, I understand that, you know, a lot of the Pride organizations across Canada, you know, simply don't have capacity. There are 40 festivals across the country, some of which are incredibly small and some of which are offering $5 million budgets such as Toronto. And it's, you know, it really speaks to you know, the diversity in strength and size. You know, how do you balance, you know, the celebration and the festival with the causes of the community? We're going to kick it off with Vincent.
Great. So I think that there are definitely things to be celebrating in the queer community and in the queer and trans communities, and it's important to have a space to celebrate those in. However, Pride, in and of itself, in my opinion, should be vastly more political than it actually is. And I will, and my explanation for this is that we've often seen these Pride movements, and I'd say larger, like community organizations in general. What comes to the top of my head is the Canadian Centre for Gender and Sexual Diversity, being more happy to celebrate 10 years of marriage equality in Canada, which happened, if I'm not mistaken, a few days ago. Yeah. Than they are to actually point out the issues that we are still not equal. We still do not have, like, people, like, queer and trans folks are still facing enormous amounts of discrimination, especially in rural communities, right? There are a whole bunch of issues for which there is still a very direct need for political protest and action, and I feel like a lot of the time those are being erased in current Pride celebrations. I would be much happy to see a march that, like a march, and I say this specifically because I think there is a very definite difference between a march and a parade. I'd like to see a march that is very inclusive of all communities, as I mentioned earlier, but also a march that recognizes that we, even though we're still working towards rights, right? We're not at this point where everything, we're equal now, we can celebrate, yay, where there are disproportionate amounts of LGBTQ homeless youth, drug addiction problems with LGBTQ youth, trans women of color being murdered at rates that are much higher, for example. And so these are the kind of things that I'm just concerned about.
What about yourself, RJ? You know, how would you balance celebration and causes? Are they interchangeable?
I mean, celebrations. For instance, here, like, I went to Pride as a youth here. And I came away with no education, and I think that's mainly what's happening. We go there, we celebrate, and I come back with nothing other than that I should have felt a sense of community in Ottawa, and I didn't feel a sense of community. I didn't see myself represented, you know, as a queer black man, you know, in this community. And I think that was a large problem here. And I need to see more education within this. If we're putting, like, for instance, Toronto's putting $4.5 million into, you know, their celebration there, why am I not being educated with some of this money? Like, if we took half of that money, you know, people have resources at home. People are so creative in Toronto and here, like the artists and the, you know, the community. If you reach out to those people, you know what I mean? Funded for them, you know, to get that. If we use some of that money and, you know, put it into resources, like you said, in refugees that coming, you know, coming to Canada, you know, LGBTQ refugees coming here, they have the ability to come here. We don't have the resources to help them. We don't have those resources. They come here and they have to find those resources for themselves. They have to create those resources themselves. And I mean, we're just dealing with this problem now. And it's really a shame because once they get here, it's like, you're on your own. Good luck. You know, if we stop the celebration for a year, you know, put all that money into resources, you know, went up to the community and be like, what do you know? What can you help us with? It would change, you know, Pride in Canada completely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to, you know,
I love that idea about, I do think that it does come down to format. And how do you mix politics and celebration? And I think the word celebration may not be the right word sometimes. It could be the word party. And I think that in order to have that conversation, there just needs to be maybe a theme within Pride that allows for a conversation. And maybe that being a part of the message where someone is just conversing about how they feel, their sexuality, and that in itself is celebration to me. But a party, it means that it's without narrative.
Exactly.
And that it's just partying. So the format, I think, you're right about saying, ask the community, you know?
What about yourself, Tammy? How do you see the format of, a party or celebration versus the cause and the politics?
Well, back in 1983, which was my first Pride, I came to Toronto was my first Pride, not Ottawa. I'm born and raised in Ottawa, but I went to Toronto for 27 years and stayed for a bit. I just came back here 3 years ago. And when I went to Toronto, it was even in 83, there was a celebration that we were unified and that we were together and there was a safety in numbers. And then afterwards, we went behind the 519 and we had a big picnic because we were celebrating the fact that we could. And the history before that, I only know from textbook because I was 19 years old and sometimes in my youth, and I'm not going to say youth in general, but my youth, I wasn't as aware and sensitive and educated as I should have been about the history of, but I did quickly get an education. And Matt, good for you for doing a documentary because we don't have, in my mind, still enough education on our history.
Right.
And there's a sad loss of that. And the education component, I completely agree with you that we need to have more education. I would love to see more. I would love to see more education in and around things that are new in the community. For instance, on our board, we have Amanda Ryan, who's of Gender Mosaic and very much an activist and very much in the front line movements. Incredible individual. And I said to her that my biggest challenge was, and I think it's everybody's, as new things enter into our movement, and that's a huge generalization, I'm sorry, into the movement, the human rights movement, we need education along the way. When I was coming out, it was pretty much a lot of gay guys and women were somewhere back there. And then it became more equal. And then, of course, within the women's movement, there was the feminist versus the non-feminist. There's always been. But education goes so far. And I think what is happening is that people are not feeling heard. I'm not going to say it hasn't happened, but we're not close to that. But we also have to look at the bigger picture and what's going on and what we're trying to achieve in a very short amount of time. It's not that we're reluctant to, but we do have to focus in a very short amount of time to make certain things happen. But education, would love to see more of it, would welcome people to take it on. I'm not the educator. I'm not the person with the understanding of what's needed. I simply made an organization who is creating a festival. And the festival has a lot of components. So the festival for me, yes, I will agree. There's a celebration component, but there's also a protest component and an education component. And we are trying to do a very large protest moment, which is a moment of silence this year in the parade, which is a really hard thing to achieve. But it is something that we are strategizing on right now.
I will say one thing, if I can, really quickly. The way I do understand, it actually is hard to approach Pride. In my experience, approaching Pride Toronto was very hard. Although we handed a documentary off to them late, literally 2 days before the weekend began, but even 2 weeks after, I found out that our co-chair didn't watch it. And I learned that a lot of people from Pride didn't watch it. And to me, I was like a little shocked because it was for Pride, you know? And I do have to admit it is hard to approach Pride, but I think that people just need to really do it, you know, get the attention that they deserve and do it in a way that comes from passion and truth.
So we're about a few minutes out now, about three, 4 minutes left of the show. Do either you, Vince or Arjun, have any closing remarks on today's discussion?
I'd like to take a bit of like inspiration from some of the things that happened in Pride St. Louis, actually, where there was a protest against the Pride Parade with a group that was I think it was specifically about Black Trans Lives Matter, but I'm not really sure. But some of the demands that they have were very interesting, and I think that can be replicated in prides across the country, where they had demands, for example, that I'm reading this from their manifesto, but one of their things was to end the participation of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department in the Pride Parade until they stopped murdering Black and brown people. Another one of the things was ending sponsorship of Pride St. Louis by corporations that participate in the gentrification and predatory lending that displace and disenfranchise communities of color. Things like this, and like actually taking concrete progressive actions and remembering at the same time Pride's roots and its intrinsically political atmosphere and the statement that it makes is extraordinarily important. And I'm looking forward to having conversations with a lot of the community members that I've been currently talking with, and yeah, so I'm extremely looking forward to, yeah.
Awesome, yeah. So not our STL Pride was the hashtag for STL's protest at the Pride Parade. It is really important, to realize that people of color are definitely, they need to be at the front of this. Like, they are being targeted most, and sorry. This was started with people of color, like Stonewall Riots, Marsha P. Johnson, like people of color created this. And
Compton's cafeteria as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So many people have, so many people of color, and it's ridiculous that, we aren't at the front of this. And, trans black women aren't at the front of this. It's really upsetting. And I really appreciate, Matt, you for making this documentary. Media activism is like really, really important to me. As a photographer, I put, people at the forefront, females at the forefront, people of color at the forefront of protests. And I really do appreciate that. And putting that documentary out there and giving it, to Toronto Pride was a really big thing, and I really do. Immediate activism has to blow up more. So I really do appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. You just gave me goosebumps.
Just to close out, do you have any comments, Tommy? And then we'll have to wrap
No,
it up.
I think this has been a great discussion. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I came here. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
For having a conversation. I think it's been a well-rounded one.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, if you are in the Ottawa area, there is a small town Ontario band performing in Irene's. This is called Long Range Hustle, very LGBT friendly. And this is a nice, cheerful song called Paddle Away to play out with. Be sure, our website is down at the moment, www.velvetstudio.ca. We were attacked by a phishing network, so we are fixing it. but you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be linking the episode soon if you want to listen back and get in touch with us. Thank you so much to all of my guests.
Thanks, Luke.
You were incredible.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
All right.
If there's a lesson learned, whatever was it for, pushing off of that shore, pushing off of that shore to paddle away. Pushing off of that shore.